I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a fellow podcaster. It's Dustin Holden, everyone.
Hey,
woo!
How
you doing, Dustin?
I'm good.
How are you? I'm doing good. And we're here today to talk about yet another TV series based off the Grease franchise. It's High School Musical, the musical, the series. Woo!
Well, it's based off a movie that's based off the Grease franchise. But yeah, I get that. Okay.
Yeah. I cut out the middleman to make the joke. Yeah. But we're here to only talk about season one because that's all the brainwidth we have, the bandwidth we have for right now.
And I will argue that season one is the best season of this show. So
I have, spoiler alert, I have not watched any other season besides season one. So I've seen this before.
I still like them. It's just they go in a completely different direction than you think it's going to go. And it's interesting. So
We'll get to that in a little bit. I'll kind of give hints on it later.
But yeah.
So High School Musical, the series, was created by Tim Federle. The showrunners for season one were Oliver Goldstruck and Tim Federle. The first episode premiered November 12th, 2019. And the last episode premiered January 10th, 2020. And then something happened. I don't know what, but something happened.
It's a
right afterwards.
A lot of stuff went on that year, I guess. I don't remember. Whatever. It's a whirlwind.
So with this show, it's like Smash and Glee had a love child with The Office.
Kinda, right?
Structurally.
And Disney-fied.
And of course, Disney-fied. However, oh my God, I completely forgot this that happened in the first episode. They bleep out one of the kids saying shit. And I was like, you know what? Good for you, Disney.
They went there. Yeah.
I feel like this show doesn't get talked about a lot. And there's a lot of things that are happening that are good, especially for a Disney Plus
groundbreaking
show.
For Disney, for sure.
Yes. Like having gay characters in a relationship.
They don't say gay, but they show it. So it's
Yes.
And it goes even further on later on in the seasons. Like they really dive into those gay characters and some turn out to be bisexual. And there's a lot of stuff that happens in the show.
Something to look forward to. Right off the bat, in this, the basic premise of the show is that a new drama teacher, I'm assuming that's what Miss Jen is teaching. Teaching is in very light air quotes, everyone.
Yeah, she doesn't literally have a class, apparently. She's like a club sponsor.
Yeah. And she's working at this high school where High School Musical, the movies were filmed, and they've never put on a production of High School Musical, the stage version, which, okay, I buy that. I will buy that. But part of me watching this in 2024, thinking back to 2019 or 2018 when they filmed this, like, these kids are super excited to do this show. And I was like, I'm pretty sure High School Musical is a joke, even in 2019.
I would say, but if you think about it, if you went to that school and it was famous for that, they're not excited as much about doing High School Musical. They're excited about doing the play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're excited about doing a musical, but it happens to be High School Musical, which they all grew up with. So they know it. So they're kind of excited about it in that regard.
True. We get the theater nerds in on this one. And the show has a bunch of now stars. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo being the biggest name.
Right.
In the
cast. Became a star, a big star, with her album dropping like during season three, which they shortened her scene work in season three. Like, they gave her like a solo story and just kind of spread it out across the season. And then she was gone for season four.
Is it the one that starts in this season with the boarding school?
No, it goes into a different direction.
Oh, okay.
Season two concludes that story. So
got it. And then we have Julia Lester, where theater people may know of her. She was in the recent Into the Woods revival as Little Red.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What was funny was that I was watching this just myself, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to watch this show. And my mother at the time, she was watching the sitcom Mom, the one with Anna Faris and Allison Janney. And she showed up on that as like a foster kid to like Jamie Presley, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she became a foster kid. And so I was like, hey, she's in High School Musical. And it was currently on at the time. So she was doing dual work. And then I just saw her in a movie. I think it was called Prom Dates. And wow. It's about her and her friend. It's kind of got this like storyline that's similar to Bottoms, but they don't start a fight club. But it's still got that kind of relationship with friends and both going after somebody. There's a couple of movies that are like that, like Booksmart. I think it's one of them, but that's like a graduation movie, but it still kind of get the same vibe. And she like comes out to her friend, and so her friend's like, we're gonna get you a girl, and she's like, all right, we're gonna get your guy, you know. And that's the whole idea. It's on Hulu. So if
and you and Kate Renders, I believe that's how you pronounce her last name, plays Miss Jen. It's funny because
I really want to say reindeers.
Right, yeah, I do too. During in episode 8, the tech rehearsal, during the song Role of a Lifetime, where Lucas Grabeel makes a cameo, they make a reference to her being Glinda or something, or like mm-hmm. Wicked. She was a Glinda. Like,
I 100% believe it, because when the show started, I was like, God, she's like got a Kristen Chenoweth vibe to her. Like her voice, just the way she naturally talks, her kind of look. She kind of has a similar face shape and everything, and she's tiny. And
she played Glinda from 2005 to 2007 in both Chicago and on Broadway. So, but it's so weird that she, I mean, I understand why she doesn't, but I feel like she needed another song this season, or like have more of a press. Like, I'm used to Glee, where Mr. Shu sang every minute he could because it's Matthew Morrison. Yeah. Yes. Or
we
rap.
Don't get any rap in this show, from what I understand. I mean, there's kind of a little bit of a rap in one of the pop songs they do. It's not even like a rap. It's just kind of like
it's like speaking rhythmically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like a real rap. So, but that's it. And pop songs.
What's fascinating about this show is that you get basically the music from High School Musical, the first one, and then they have some original songs.
Right.
Where I know Olivia Rodrigo definitely wrote one of them.
I know Joshua Bassett wrote some too, one or two with her. Actually, they collaborated because they were dating at this time. I think during the filming of this, actually, the first season.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Interesting. So Olivia Rodrigo wrote All I Want, which is in episode 4. And you like there's that one, and then there's another one that she didn't write, the one that Ashlyn, who will play Miss Darbus, wrote for the show, called Wondering. And I was like, these feel like Olivia Rodrigo songs, and really only All I Want was written by her.
I love Wondering. I love that song.
Now it's a good song, but like this show does the thing I personally don't like when it's centered around theater, but they're like not following protocols and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like when we get to the performance at the end of this season, I know I'm jumping around, but I'm so mad. I'm so mad at the amount of people who drop out mid performance. It's like,
and switch roles
roles. And it's like, you would do that if there's an injury, like, or
if the people look almost identical.
Right. I mean, they could. So, okay. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
They would have to I know. We'll get into that. But yeah. So Tim Federle, who created this, he also wrote Better Nate Than Ever, the book. And actually, there's a trilogy of books. It's called Better Nate Than Ever. And then he wrote and directed the movie that's on Disney Plus. And it's about a kid who's into theater, and he wants to be on Broadway.
Yes.
And he's very gay. They don't say it. They don't even say it in the book. They just kind of say something different to him, and he's not interested in his
theater
friend.
Fan.
But they allude to it more in the book than they do in the movie. But it's a good little story, and it's a good book. So I recommend reading the book instead of watching the movie. Or if you watch the movie, read the book first. It's so much better. But he's really good, so that's why I think that probably helped him get to create High School Musical the series. But so what I also noticed, and I didn't even realize this as I was watching it, because I noticed the name come up on the credits originally when I watched it once, and I was like, oh, really? I know that name. Then I noticed it almost in every episode. Almost every episode was directed by Joanna Kearns, who played the mom on Growing Pains. She
Oh my
directs
goodness.
TV and stuff now. And I was like, oh, and I looked her up and she had directed all this other stuff too. And I was like, oh, wow. But she directed like a majority of these episodes or even co-directed them.
Oh my goodness. That's, I mean, that's good for her. Let me
I know it's
see.
kind of one of those weird things like, oh, I know that name. Why do I know that name? You know?
She did. Well, during the whole show's run, she's done six episodes. Kimberly McCullough has done 14 of them.
I think she co-directed with Joanna Kearns. I think Joanna Kearns came in the first season and did a lot of them, a majority of them. And I think she co-directed one with her, kind of maybe to get that, like, this is what we're going for kind of vibe of how the show should go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we're gonna set up the language, the film language of it, and then you're
Yeah.
just gonna keep going with it. But
Exactly.
so Miss Jen comes to this school in Utah, by the way.
It's
I
not
forgot.
Albuquerque. Because
It's
the
not
movie's set in
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Right. I was like, oh, Albuquerque, right. No, I'm totally forgetting that the school is real. The school is very much real. And it's fascinating that like that cafeteria is real.
That's an
Not a
awesome
set.
cafeteria. It looks like a damn like mall.
Yeah.
It looks like a
Yeah.
mall, like just a plaza in a mall. Like, what the hell? Like,
And then, so, and
That community has money
the, oh my God, yes.
for a
This,
public school.
and it feels like that this show, I know that like Ricky and Nini are supposed to be our leads, but it feels like a true ensemble, or at least it gets to an
They're
ensemble.
the catalyst of the show, like to start. That's what we're following at first, and then we kind of branch off into everybody
You
else.
bring in EJ, Gina, Ashlyn, Big Red, all these
It would.
other tertiary characters that we that or secondary characters whose names I don't really remember right now. But
Well,
it
they
feels
what they do
like
is they take the archetypes of the High School Musical story and the characters, and then they kind of like mesh some of them up or kind of split them in half, and then they add on other characters.
right, because you have Ricky is definitely Troy, but he's not torn between basketball and theater. He's torn between his love for Nini, Olivia Rodrigo,
Yeah.
who, because it prior to this, she said, I love you, and he didn't respond, which I know it's a big deal and everything, but like it's also for teenagers, it's a huge deal. But it when you think about it, it's not because I'm assuming it's weird that she didn't know about what's going on with his parents
Well, he just
or
found out.
acknowledge.
He found
True.
out
Oh,
during the
true, true,
show.
true.
So here's what happened. So she sings in this song and posts it on Instagram and is like, you know, I think I kind of, you know that one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sing it because Disney.
They're
you know, you
listening.
know. She sings this song and he's like, oh, and he feels like overwhelmed, like he doesn't know what to say. And he's like, thanks, kind of thing. But so he freaks out and like kind of says, let's take a break for the summer. That's his response.
Right.
So yeah, that breaks her heart. It's not just like I can't say it back, or you know, like, oh, I don't know what to say. You know, it's not like that. Like he just doesn't say it. It's that he kind of almost breaks up with her in a way. And so she goes off to theater camp, and that's where she meets EJ, who also goes to her. I don't know how she didn't know him, but he's a
He's a
senior,
senior.
or he's just a year up because they're juniors. And so he's a senior, and they meet at theater camp, and she gets a big part in the. There's a whole thing that comes out
There's a
about
whole,
that,
yeah.
but I mean, there's a lot of like interwoven secrets. It does really good with the drama. I will give you that. Like every episode's got some kind of drama going on.
EJ is a weird character, I feel like. Because, like, once his major storyline is done. They don't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's supposed to be the foil to Ricky.
He's the Chad.
He's the
He
Chad,
literally
but
is, and
like
he gets
not a
cast as
best
Chad.
friend.
Right.
And
But see,
then,
Chad was never acted like a best friend in High School Musical, if you really think about it. Who does that to their friend?
but
Anyway.
he's not actively trying to like undermine Troy, like how EJ's trying to undermine EJ. Sorry. How EJ's trying to undermine Ricky all the
Yeah.
time. And then we have Gina, who I'm assuming is supposed to be Sharpay, but like they get her off that villainous track
She's
at
also kind of the Gabriella at the same time, because Gabriella had to move from place to place and she was always afraid about
right.
moving. So they gave her that storyline
Because
because you start to like her as it goes on. You don't like her for like the first half of the show, and
no,
then you start to like her.
it's not
Or
until the
actually,
Thanksgiving episode.
Homecoming, when she and Ricky kind of start in
Oh,
that.
right. When she's like, oh, I had a plan, but like, I didn't really think it through.
Yeah, I thought this might happen. I don't know why. And you're
Which,
like, yeah.
by the way, hold on. Let me find this woman's name because I need to give her all the credit right now.
Oh, but I also noticed the choreographer, or at least some of it, was Zach Woodley, who did Glee.
Oh
He
my
was the
God, of
choreographer for
course he
Glee.
did. So Sophia Wiley, who plays Gina, is stupidly talented.
Oh, she is.
Stupidly talented to the point where they're talking about doing a dance break in Stick to the Status Quo, and she does it, and you're like, I'm out. You're supposed to be a sophomore in high school. I'm out. I'm done.
She's doing flips and kicks and splits and like,
While
what?
holding on to a tray. Granted, the
Yes.
tray did have a little bit of a thing for her to slide her hand in to hold on to it better, but like, my God.
Yeah. And she's been in a few other things. I know she was in that Netflix movie, The School for Good and Evil. She's one of the leads in that.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Honestly, all these kids are talented in every which way. They are actually kids, I
Most of them,
think.
yes. They're late teens, early 20s, if anything, but most of them are in
Like,
their
I think
teens.
Olivia Rodrigo was 16 when the
Well,
show
she was a
started.
Disney kid, so I
She's
know
a
she was.
Disney kid. And then Larry Saperstein, who plays Big Red, looks super young and is young, I think.
He looks like his name is Larry Saperstein, doesn't he? Like, he just look at
Yeah.
him like that fits you. That is your name.
He's, yeah. Yeah, he, well, I mean, he's been working since 2010 in shorts and stuff like that, but like, good for him. It's so funny that they call him Big Red and he's like the smallest person.
No.
The teentiest, tiniest. But then we also have Courtney, played by Dara Renee, who is supposed to be the tailor, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but
The
then she kind of becomes a Sharpay at one point. It's kind of
later in the
interesting.
series.
Yeah, everybody kind of flips around and changes
Okay.
a little bit, you know, and it gets interesting in this show. I will go into that later, but
To me, she seems like the Mercedes of the bunch from Glee.
yes, she's like Mercedes mixed with Taylor. Yeah.
Because there are moments when she sings that I'll never forget, like when a character in Glee was reading New Directions to Filth, and they're like, "You're gonna have Mercedes just belt the high note at the end." I was like, "That's what Courtney's doing sometimes," except for that one song that she like leads.
Born
Oh,
to be
where was it?
brave.
Yes, like that's a banger. I feel like that should have been an anthem song. It should
That
be.
song, I believe, needs to be done at pride parades.
Yes, with This Is Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, I was born. I can't do it, damn it. But listen to the song, get the
Listen to the song.
Spotify,
Listen
listen
to
to
the
the
song because Disney's gonna sue me for everything that I have, which is nothing. So they're gonna take my microphone away, Dustin.
Born to be brave. Just listen to it.
Which, okay, this song in particular, it's supposed to be a song in the world that this show is in.
Yeah, like it's a pop song they grew up with.
Okay, because the other original ones are supposed to be them writing it. doing the whole Glee thing of them writing in a night, and it sounds beautiful, you know. Especially, I'm looking at you, Truth, Justice, and Songs in Our Key.
Yes, that was like, what are we gonna do, guys? I don't know. The next day, they have choreography.
The next day, like 12 hours later, they had everything. It was wild. I also found it interesting that Miss Jen was, as the director, was open to things, even and as well as trying to follow the movie, like the look of the movie and the feel of it. But, you know, casting a male identifying person as Sharpay was a stroke of genius.
Really cool. I mean, it was neat. It was a neat. She was like, that is so, what did she say? What did she say? She goes, that is so brave or something like that. Something like that. She was like, you know, I want to be Sharpay. He's like, that is so brave.
Yes.
Like, okay. And she went with it, which, by the way, it makes me mad. The Ryan never got to sing.
Okay, so
here's... Sharpay sang all Ryan's parts.
I think it's because they were trying to cut costs.
I'm sure.
Because they can have him featured and dance and everything, but the minute somebody says a line, you have to give them... on film, you have to give them a SAG card and you have to pay them SAG rates. So, I mean, I did notice that when it's like... You're supposed to be having a dialogue at that moment and stick to the status quo. it's not a one person monologue, you know, it's a dialogue and you have a body there.
I'm like, I don't get what's going on with Ryan, but okay.
They cast somebody as Coach Bolton, whose name I don't know, but they give him lines.
And he doesn't even like that should have been EJ.
But, like, honestly, if you cast EJ in that, that would have been, like, super hurtful. Super, like, everything.
Oh, yeah, for the character, for sure. But, like, literally, he's, like, the tallest one, and he would probably present more as, like, an authority figure. But, you know.
I don't even know where I was going. Oh, so Miss Jen. And then also, one of the running things throughout the season is they're trying to levitate Troy. Or like have him float, and I was like, you know what, that is a really interesting concept. The way you went about it is so dumb, and where are the adults, where are the other adults? in this, but you know what, that's pretty smart how they, you know, figured it out. And Mr. Mazzara, who is Miss Jen's Boyle, who is a robotics technology teacher or something.
Yeah, science teacher, and he has a robotics club, something like that.
He's another one like Gina, but it takes longer to like him, I feel like.
Oh, you still don't like him even in season two. You're just like, ugh.
But okay. Like, you know, towards the end when he's helping with the play and there's that moment in the Thanksgiving episode where they help each other with their specific projects, like, you're supposed to start to like him, but he's still an asshole.
Yeah, he's still like, but he wants to be, it's like he wants to be that way. Yeah,
and I'm like, why are you being an asshole? Like, he wants to be
a likable Sue Sylvester. That's what he wants to be, but he's not quirky and funny.
And Sue Sylvester was likable because of the camp, like,
exactly. She had those one-liners, you know, and those quick comebacks, and he doesn't have that. He's just trying to, like, get out of my face. Like, that's kind of like, don't touch me. That kind of thing. He was just kind of like, I don't like you because you're too aggressive with it. Like, you're not nice about it.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, it would be one thing if you're talking about budgets and things like that. He wants his kids back into his robotics club. It's literally the reverse of Glee, where Mr. Shu is trying to have a set number of kids, 12 kids in his Glee club, and then Mr. Mazzara needs 12 kids in his robotics club.
Yeah.
It's wild. But, like, you go through a journey in the show, and, like, I think I liked this season because they are young people. The writers, like, paid attention to young people at the of this time, and they're speaking like young people and acting like young people. A little Disneyfied, yes, because it's Disney, but it's not. I mean, it's a fun.
It's not
show.
Over the top. It's not over the top sanitized.
No, I mean the one thing that I think is over the top sanitized is when they do the Thanksgiving episode and they play High School Musical, the Chusical. And yes. I was like, you kids are super excited to play this stupid game.
Come on. Are you telling me that if you were in high school, when you first, like, did you do plays in high school, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I so did. I didn't, I first, my first show, that's the thing, I was watching it today. I've been having, like, a roller coaster of emotion weekend. My dog is sick and whatnot. So, that might have, I know, I'm sorry. But she's okay. She's not, like, sick. She's just kind of her, she's old. So she's kind of, you know, and anyway, so that's kind of been on my mind, but also rewatching this, I was finishing it up because I had already started over the week and I was finishing it up and I marathoned it. And I was like, man, I forgot why I liked this so much, because it felt like when you first got into your first High School Musical in general, like the relationships when you butted heads with people you never normally would have been around. Cause that's what's funny about, like, doing a High School Musical. You end up meeting a bunch of different types of people, jocks, nerds, you know, people who love theater. You meet so many different types of people, and you kind of, you, by the end, you kind of find this mutual respect for each other in a way. Even if you don't really like each other, you just kind of, like, you appreciate each other for what you've done to all come together and, like, do this production. And
it's called shared trauma.
Well, that's true.
But sometimes, like, not all the time.
That's why it makes me so mad when people are like, we don't want to invest in the arts. We need to invest in sports because that creates teamwork. I'm like, have you ever been in a play? Do you understand how much teamwork it takes to, like, put on a show and make sure everybody, the lighting and the set and the
and you're
makeup
learning
and costumes and everybody learns everything and somebody's got to do a backup understudy for you. Possibly we didn't have that in high school, but you know, we have all that. And then not even that is an art. Like, dance is an art. You have to, everybody has to do their thing. Everybody's got to cooperate, you know, music, everybody's got to
be
in the same.
I mean,
you know,
you can take all the elements of theater and be like, you're learning skills. Like, you get on like the crew and you're building the sets, like, you're learning carpentry basically.
Yeah. And you know, and like I said, you're meeting other people from different factions of the school, you know, and different groups. And so that's even more of a collaboration and more of, like, the real world of having to, like, interact with different types of people than you would go to and be in the sport where it's mostly jocks who are all kind of around the same type of personality, same, you know, especially when they get all together. So it's completely different. And I think that shows more teamwork than freaking sports do. That's how I feel.
And you get injured as much as you get injured playing sports, like,
oh,
play
hell yeah.
And doing theater. Like, you twist your ankle doing a step, you're fucked.
Oh my God. Oh, you know how many times, like, I fell down.
Right. Or you sing so much that you lose your voice and you're fucked again. Like, there's so many things. So, like, the arts, I agree with you. Obviously, the arts are very important. Being able to read music does play into your math and English comprehensions. Because you're learning.
I can't read it, but I can feel it. Like, if I hear a song, I know, like, for the first time, I'm like, and then, like, they're going to do a clap, clap, or they're going to have a doom, 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 doom. I just know it's coming. You just know because of the way music is designed. I never read it, but I hear it enough to where I really notice the pattern, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, it helps. It does help with math. That is. I think a fact.
I mean, if you think about it, have you ever been in a class where they're like, hey, just learn a little song and you'll remember this fact? And it happens every single time. You're like,
oh,
you know,
my God. When I learned the multiplication, like, certain multiplication
ABCs.
Tables, the ABCs is twinkle, twinkle, little star. Multiplication, the way my teacher taught us, like, the four times tables was Yankee Doodle, something like that. I still sing it to this day. Like,
every so often you're like, I need da, da, da. Oh, yeah, okay, I know it.
No, sorry. Yankee Doodle was the seven times tables, 7, 14, 21, 28, 35. Yeah, so it's important. And so what's great about this show is that it's at least this season. I can't speak for future seasons, but in this season, it's not that they're like about to lose it because of funding or lack of interest or something. It's they're like the drama is Miss Jen's shady past and she lied on her resume. But like, is she really a teacher? That's my question.
Yeah, I know. They're like, wait, so you went to an online school? That's what you're teaching degree? I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't work, because you have to do like in-class study. Like you have to, you know what I mean? To be a teacher, that's a thing. I'm pretty sure with pretty much every state, like it's not just Utah, they don't do that, you know.
And also she lied saying that she was in the movie High School Musical, which I kind of wish that they actually cast somebody who was in the movie.
Yeah. But she didn't lie. She was in the movie. That's what the whole thing is.
Sorry, she was in the movie, but she was
part as she let on.
Yes.
And then she said her name was Jen Jennifer, and her name's not Jen Jennifer. It's something else. She used a stage name. I'm like, why would you name yourself? It'd be like calling me Dust Dustin, you know, like, or John Jonathan or something, yeah. You know?
John Johnny, like.
Yeah, Johnny John, whatever. But yeah, it'd be like, why would you? That's a stupid name. Like, why?
But like, and she's somebody who at the beginning of the season, I'm like, I don't like you either. But like I think it's because also I'm thinking of it as when I was in high school and when we did it, like there were other adults there. Yeah. It's just her and she gets creepily involved in their lives. It feels like that whole sequence at the bowling alley with Olivia Rodrigo and with Nene and Courtney, where Miss Jen meets Ricky's dad and then they fuck.
Maybe they didn't really, they hinted
they allude
at something.
To some, they allude later on, they allude to yeah. Something happening at the
like,
bowling
wait,
alley,
but we didn't see it. But like, they left, like, how I don't think they did. I think there was just, I think they were trying to say they just flirted, but that makes it sound like.
They fuck. Wait,
why are you saying? Did they like bang in the bathroom while like Courtney and Nene were over there singing "Born to Be Brave"? Like he was born to be brave in that bathroom, apparently. So
I gotta say too, like it honestly felt like with this first season they weren't sure about having a second season. So when we got to the last episode, I'm sorry to jump ahead. There were moments where they're setting up things for a season two, and there's even one moment where what's her name again? Miss Jen. She looks at the camera and is like, wait until you see what I have for the spring musical. And you're like, okay, this is you daring Disney to not give you a season two, I guess. Like,
well, remember, this was released week to week.
Yeah, on so... Disney Plus, which was, I think this was their first show doing that or something.
Yeah. And they kept doing it with it, which I liked, you know, that I liked that they did that. I mean, I get that, you know, our younger generations, millennials, I'm a zennial, so elder millennial, whatever you want to call it. I'm used to week to week. I grew up a television, you know, broadcast TV. It was week to week. So I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with some binging too, as long as it's not like a really long season of a show. Like, I mean, if it's, like Stranger Things, 8 episodes. I can binge that, but not like 13 to 20. No, I can't do that. It's just too much. But the younger generations, they grew up with binging. So they don't like it when things aren't out all the time, which is what amazed me that this lasted for 4 seasons, that they did that. Mm-hmm. It also could be that their parents sat there and watched it with them because it is a family type show. And they did make it to where there were some funny moments for like adults to enjoy. It's not like it's,
oh, there were some moments I was tee-hee-heeing as well. But, like, there's one episode that we need to talk about, and that's episode 8.
Okay.
The events that happen in episode 8 make me not like it, because it seems like such a waste. Where they're, prior to this, the school has a little fire that they can't perform in the auditorium. Granted, the whole school doesn't burn down, but they can't perform in the auditorium. So my brain was like, you have that massive cafeteria. There's got to be a gym somewhere. Why aren't we going there? They go to a different location entirely. And I'm like, this is just a waste of time. And I understand you're trying to break your characters apart so like you can work on the romance, or Miss Jen has a nervous breakdown and gets through it. But like this whole subplot of finding another theater just seemed like a waste of time to me.
Yeah. I agree with that. There was no reason for it, but they could
No.
have been like rehearsing in the gym the entire time and it could have done the same stuff. The same stuff could have happened.
And see, I also don't understand why they have a rehearsal room and an auditorium. Like, just rehearse in the auditorium.
That's true. Yeah. I agree with that too. Like, yeah, most we had so we didn't have an auditorium in my high school. We
Okay.
had a quote multi-purpose building. That's what it was called. And that's where the
Oh.
band rehearsed. They had their own little space, and it was also like a gym space for like PE. And then we had a concrete stage there. Yeah. So my first experience with like a wooden stage and stuff was when I got to college, and I was like, oh my gosh, we can actually come up from the floor here. Wow. this is awesome. Yeah.
What,
So.
my ankles don't hurt when I have to jump around on this stage? Great.
Oh my God. So then when I fell down on the stage, I got hurt.
Yikes.
It was concrete with like tile on top of it, but still.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't, that's why I was like, we rehearsed in that, that building, but we did it at night after school, and we had a theater room, but it was literally a classroom. That was the theater class.
Oh, okay.
And so it was on the same stage. It was like you walked out of the room and you were on the stage. It was right there. So we used that as like an off stage because it was right off of it. So we used that as the off stage left. And then we had the driver's ed room with all the simulating seats that was off stage right. So we would open that up to be able to use that room a little bit. It still had a bunch of crap in it, but we still had room we can like put quick costume changes or some
Yeah.
props or whatever, you can grab stuff, so there was hardly any backstage in this place. So I kind of, yeah, I would see that as I could see that as a problem if it is an auditorium, as far as like if it's away from everybody, you know what I mean, away from the school. And but yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't use it, why
I'm
you wouldn't rehearse
also
there.
probably thinking too logically and using my own shared experience to inform these questions, but I'm like, you have it.
Yeah. Did they rehearse after school or did they rehearse during school?
That's a
It looked
good
like it was
question.
both, actually.
That's a great question, because there was a moment when Ricky found out about the divorce of his
Yeah.
parents, and he's like, he ends the scene by going, I gotta go to rehearsal. And I'm like, what day is this? First of
And then
all,
there
is
was
this
another
a
one on Thanksgiving. They're all meeting and they're going to rehearse and stuff. And then the bell rings. Like, oh, great. So, because EJ's like, I love Thanksgiving, and now it's Thanksgiving break. And I'm like, so are you at when? How are we
is
doing
this
this?
is this the Friday before? Is this Tuesday? What's
Or
going
maybe it's
on?
like they rehearse after school on just some nights and then most of the, extra rehearsal. And then they do stuff during, because sometimes I know some schools, I've seen this on TV shows, that they have like a club hour or something and everybody
Do not
goes.
get me started on the Glee logic. I do not
That's the only
understand
thing I
when
could
that
think of. That's the
happens.
only thing I could think of. I
I
know this from
don't
TV
know
only.
when they have rehearsals, because there's people milling around outside all the time, outside the doors all
I
the
know, just
time.
walking by, I'm like, does no one
And you're
have
like,
class?
is this a class period, or is this a like after school club?
That's
And
like when they go, I have a, you see TV shows and like, I have a free period. I'm like, who has a free period? You either have study hall or you have class.
or a
And if you have a
lunch,
free
right?
period or lunch, or if you have a free period, you're most likely going to be in study hall. That's a study hall period. We never had free period. We just got to wander around the school.
I mean, my senior year, I did have a late start. I had first period free, so I could come in late.
Well, what we did, you could leave early because, like, by your senior year, you've done most of your credits and whatnot. Unless you failed something or you just want to take something, an elective or whatever, you could probably leave around like 11:30 or 12 for a work study, which you would get like a work permit. That's what you got. So you could go part time
Yes.
work somewhere and then
Work
you could
permits.
leave. Like, I think that was junior years when you started to do that. You could like leave a little earlier. Junior year, you would probably leave around 2, maybe. And then,
Interesting.
yeah, so we went to like 3:30. So you might leave around 2.
Got it.
And then, but in senior year, you might leave, you know, depending on what you're taking, you know, it could be 11:30, 12 or later. It just depends. But that would be like, oh, I have a free period. Well, no, you don't have any more classes for the day. That's
I mean, this is also Utah, where Seb is late to the homecoming dance because they lost a cow. Like, there's so many things happening.
No, I love the introduction of Seb, and he was saying something like, "Yeah, I sing it all the time when I'm milking," and he doesn't explain what. And she just looks at the camera. She goes, "Milking?"
Yeah, okay. So, do you like this Office mockumentary style?
I
Did you think
do,
it
in a way.
worked?
I think it works, and you know, they don't do it as much as the show goes on. They still have like the side interviews, but they don't do as much of like looking at the camera during the shots, you know. And it's like, are they being, and it's not even like, is there a documentary going on? It's like, they just kind of, it, you know what I'm saying? Like, at least like in What We Do in the Shadows of the Office, there's like a documentary crew, excuse me. But in this, it's like, they don't acknowledge that there's a documentary crew.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, why are we doing a talking head moment where you're giving your confessional
Yeah.
or
Or they
back
do
or
like the
backstory?
previously on High School Musical the series. Yeah. And they do talk to you. So I was doing this and this guy was doing this. And like, you know.
Oh, I skipped. Wait, did they do that? I skipped
Oh, you do? That's what they do at
those.
the beginning of every, that's a recap for every episode. Yeah. They it's
Yeah.
one of the characters as their character talking about what happened with the other characters and themselves.
Got it. Yeah, no, I was just like, we're binging, we're skipping this.
I like that kind of stuff because sometimes you get little side things. They make little comments as they're recapping it. You know, like, yeah, he was thirsty. Yeah, you know, like. And I'm like, I don't think
But
you're using thirsty in the same context that people use thirsty.
like I again, I have to just underline, like, this is a very, I mean, Disney is being very progressive as in the 21st century and everything, but like in terms of a show geared towards tweens, high schoolers, young adults, even
And families, yeah.
families, adults.
Somewhat.
As I look at myself in the mirror, adults,
Or
who
ex-theater kids.
or
I
ex-theater
mean,
kids.
yeah.
Like, I like that this show is. That they, I know you. We you said they don't say gay, but like they still show you it, and that you can clearly tell that like when Carlos, the choreographer of the bunch, has to go on as
Chad.
Chad, thank you, and even hearing him say something about playing basketball seems off and everything. You're like, okay, but I like that the show did that. There's more representation, more people of color in this, not just Chad and Taylor and random dancers. Like, there's people in the cast that you know, they are playing those archetypes that they played in the High School Musical movies, but they're still their own people, you know. And
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, they wrote people, which is enjoyable.
Or
I
they
can't.
evolve more into their own people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's not like Glee where everyone was playing a cartoon character, you know, in season two. Like, to me, this season, it felt like we, besides all the actual theater stuff, like it felt like we were watching kids in high school. Like the whole pro like the rehearsal process that they have was relatable. Like, I was like, I saw myself doing the shows at the time, being like, oh my God, learning the dance for that number and skipping around the school because as a punishment, blah blah blah. Like, yeah, but the one thing though that I will say as well that they didn't do right is when Carlos is teaching that one song that Gabriella sings, and it's the Forest of Boys,
Oh yeah, it was
and
like
they
when there was
all.
you and when it was me and you. Yeah,
Yes.
it's a
And they're
forest of
all.
boys, and they're like, "This is stupid."
Am I like, none of us would have said that in high school. We would have been like, okay, yeah, Forest of Boys. I'm a tree. I'm a boy tree, you know?
Well, it was also his concept, so they weren't. If there was Miss Jen's concept, they probably wouldn't have said it. But it was his,
True.
and they're like, "This is dumb. This doesn't feel right. This is like, why would she? She's thinking about like not being, you know." And they're like, "Yeah," and all the girls are like, "Yeah, this doesn't make sense." And then And then over here, like freaking Ricky's like, let's do an acoustic version. They're like, He did a good job with that song, though. I get it. But let's talk about the songs. I want to talk about the
We want to talk
songs.
more about the songs. Great.
The
So,
original songs, obviously, not the
yeah.
High School Musical songs.
So, I mean, it's interesting that it's like every episode has an original song.
Yes.
Full stop. However, like it ranges from like 1 to 3 songs per episode. Actually, no, 4 in the last episode, technically. Yeah, there's always an original song. Nope. I was gonna say except for opening night, but there's Just for a Moment, which is I think it's the montage song where you're like, should Ricky and Nene actually get back together?
Yeah.
I'm questioning if 16-year-olds should date. I don't know if this is right for me.
You know, you always ship that stuff, even though, like, I know I'm saying ship. We haven't said ship in a long time, have we? But, you know, that's what it is.
Dustin, get the walker.
Are you shipping these relationships with these young whippersnappers?
Back in my day.
Back in the day, we said cool beans. But no, so it doesn't matter. That's like one of those things that everybody can relate to, is what I'm saying. That's why I love like teen drama, because pretty much everybody can relate to it, because we all went through it in some way. And that's when you become an adult, is when your lives go in different directions and it's hard to relate to each other more.
Gets
But
super
high
messy.
school and being a teenager and the hormones and stuff, everybody can relate to that. That's why I love that stuff, because it's like a center, like, all right, this is where relationships start and your identity starts to come into focus and all that stuff. So I love that. But as far as the songs go, I really liked a lot of these original songs, and I actually bought them digitally, like a few of them. I was like, I really like them. I don't want to have to listen through Spotify. I want to go straight to that song. It's one of those things, like, I want to listen to this damn song.
Yeah,
So
I got
like,
the album, the season 1 album,
oh, you got the full one?
which has both the original and the High School Musical songs. 'Cause like there are some songs from HSM, I'm gonna say it that way, that I wish that they could have explored more. 'Cause like there's
Or done
that,
in a different style, a little bit more, or
yeah, well, like Breaking Free when it's the three of them during the performance, like the EJ verse doesn't feel right. It's supposed to not feel right, but I feel like if they really wanted it, it would have been interesting if it was like EJ and Nene are singing it and Ricky is off on the side like harmonizing with the Troy line. So or like, and then he bleeds in and takes over or something. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm restaging it for
Well,
them.
that's where, that's that whole swapping out stuff. That's like, what is going on? Like, you were, but if you think about it, it kind of mirrors a little bit what happened in the High School Musical movie, like kind of like them coming together in the end type of
True.
thing. So it's like, it's their version of it, it's their updated version of it. So, but,
But the song
so,
that they, but Wondering for
oh,
Darbus.
that was smart though, I think. Yeah, Miss Darbus should have had a song.
It's smart, but it doesn't feel like High School Musical. You know
No,
what I
it
mean?
doesn't. That's like when Big Red said that's a Sarah Bareilles song. Like, it
Right.
does. It kind of sounds like Sarah Bareilles,
Well, I thought it was Olivia Rodrigo personally, because she also sang it. And I
Yeah.
was like, oh, was that part of Sour as well?
No, but I love it because it's kind of a song that was really should have been for Miss Jen. Like, they should have had a version of her singing it,
Yes.
because it's about the failed. But I want to say the failed actress turned theater teacher kind of thing. And like, what would have happened if I had done something a little differently, or if I'd gone for this instead, or if I'd done, and it's for anybody, actually. It's for anybody who's older, which I think appeals to adults, because you say, what if I hadn't taken this road, or if I had followed my dreams, or if I hadn't listened to this person, or if I hadn't, you know what I mean? And that's the whole point of wondering. And you're like, oh, I listened to it and I have cried to that song. Like, driving home, it comes on randomly.
Do you prefer the solo or the duet version?
Well, do they have a solo version on the album?
I believe so. I
Because I know
believe.
the in the one I have, it's Julie Lester and Olivia Rodrigo, like the first version.
Yeah, they have it twice on here. where they're both credited, both actresses are credited, but I think one of them is supposed to be the rehearsal time, and then
When she's
another
creating
one,
it, yeah.
yeah, and then the other one's supposed to be the performance.
Okay, so I have the one that's her, both of them. So that's the only
Okay.
one I know. And so I really love that song. And of course I love Born to Be Brave,
Of
because like I
course.
said, it should be a gay anthem. It really should. And I love it because in that song, you're seeing like Carlos, and he's afraid to go dance by himself. He's afraid to be himself out in the dance, and he's waiting for Seb to show up, and he doesn't show up to the homecoming dance. So he starts dancing, and apparently the same song's playing at the same time. Magic of
Because
TV.
TV, yeah,
Yeah.
TV
We just go
magic.
with it. And then it's just a really fun, like, oh, everybody knows the choreography all of a sudden. I love those moments. It's so unrealistic. And you can kind of chalk it up to maybe some of those people are in the like theater and they've all kind of learned to dance together, and that might work,
Well,
but
again, it's supposed to be a pop song of this world, so maybe they're doing the music video
it could be like the
dance.
Bye 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 of their generation, that kind of, or the Thriller, so it could be anything like that. It's just possible. But it's like when he's like, yeah, I was born to be brave. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I love this. And it kind of gives me chill bumps when I watch it, because I'm like, yeah, because I'm really getting into it. I love that. And of course, Wondering, Born to Be Brave, Out of the Old, the one that Nini writes
Yeah, so that one I wrote
for
down.
herself.
This is giving me Gotta Go My Own Way, which is a song in
It is. It's her
the
Gabriella anthem.
second movie. I think it's the second movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Where yes. There's one weak song, I feel like, and that is Truth, Justice, and Songs in Our Key.
That's the stick to the status quo.
It is, but I feel like it's the weakest one out of the bunch, out
I
of the
think stick to the
new.
status quo is the weakest one.
Well, see, I think Stick to the Status Quo, the song, is like, it can be a showstopper because you're following the choreography of it.
Yeah,
This,
and it's a big ensemble, and it's, yeah.
right, the Truth, Justice, and Songs in Our Key is just, I don't know. I think because they're doing it at a weird time, because a lot of the songs that they do are performative and they're rehearsing and they're gonna do the show and everything. Born to Be Brave is also performative because they're at the karaoke club or karaoke bowling alley and like they're singing in the alley
They
to
play this song
they play this song,
in
yeah.
for them, but they're not even in the room to sing it. But they play the whole thing, apparently.
And
She
then
tells them
like
to start it over, and they start it over for no one.
And then there's what, like one or two fantasy sequence songs.
Yes.
Role of a Lifetime definitely is the one. And there's a moment, well, it's a moment during Start of Something New when Nini has her vision of when she's on stage and everything. But like
Oh, that's when she's
she
doing
sees her
it,
in like
the
the
audition.
Gabriella
She's
dress.
auditioning.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
the very first episode. But like there's something about Truth, Justice, and the Songs in Our Key where it's like, this is not the spaces that or you're doing it to show that Miss Jen is a good teacher, but it's there's just something weird about it that I'm like, this
But
is
if
the
you could
weak.
argue that it's the weakest one because they wrote it.
That's
They all got
true.
together and wrote it with a few hours and learned choreography and all this stuff, whatever. So you could argue that if you want to. I'm not saying it's a great song. It is the weakest one, but I'm just saying, like, you could argue because of that,
Oh my
if you
God,
look at it from that angle.
I'm trying to see who wrote it. Gabrielle Mann and Jeannie Laurie. Oh, so fascinating.
Uh-oh.
Jeannie Laurie and Gabrielle Mann also wrote A Billion Sorries, the song that EJ sings, that
Oh
is
yeah.
also very weak.
But that would make sense because EJ's not a songwriter.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a draft, which is
Right.
like, okay, I get it. This is dumb. But like,
And he's doing this like boy pop thing, and she's like, yeah, it would have been better if it didn't sound like a boy band song. Like that was it just it sounds a little too upbeat for you to be saying, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
boy, it's just yeah, all over the place in terms of songs, which I get it. I get it, because you're trying to bring new songs into this world while they're doing High School Musical. So you have like a set sound with the High School Musical, and I guess they're trying to do like a modern 2019 sound with the other songs.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. So season
you want
two.
To get into, yeah, you want to get into the next season.
I kind of want to get so
at the end of season one, you have, I can't remember the girl's name, but she's like the tech girl, and she's like, all right, you know, saddle up, Wildcats, it's about to get whatever she says.
Our stage manager that is always in or out depending on the needs of what they want to throw to Big Red.
Right, exactly. So like she's like, it's about to get really interesting she says.
Hold for a second before we get into season two. Big Red, at the end of the of season one, when
during
there's
the credits,
when there's a credit, a post credit scene or during credit scene, and he's tapping, like, I'm hoping
out of nowhere.
I'm hoping he moves from crew to actor.
He does not. Oh. I will tell you that.
He gets all the references though because of watching it at his doctor's office.
Yeah, so he gets the references. Yeah. So okay, so season two, I'm not going to tell you what happens in every season, like who breaks up, who stays together, because I want you to watch it. But I'll give
of
you this
course, yeah.
general setup for each one. So season two, it comes up, and of course Nene's got like, oh, I got to be able to tell, you know,
the
Ricky
boarding
about
school.
Going to this school, this performing arts boarding school, and you know, and then she eventually does, and they have to kind of work out what's going to happen with them. But so you would think they're like, all right, we're getting ready for the spring musical, which one is it going to be, you know, they're all getting ready to do High School Musical 2. Like they even like, we're doing High School Musical 2, we know it. And so she was originally going to do High School Musical 2 and then decides, no, we're going to do Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my God, that's a shift.
I know. And then there's like a competition, like best high school performance. And there's like the East High. There's
and the
East
West High
and there's West High. Yeah, there's West High. I think it's West High. It might be something like that. They're also doing the competition. They find out that East High is doing Beauty and the Beast. So they also do Beauty and the Beast, which in real world, you can't do that. Because I know like Samuel French is like, you can't have them too close together. Like they don't let you do that.
Yeah, by proximity or something like that.
That happened with us, by the way.
Oh, what did you guys do?
In my first play, my first musical, we were in Guys and Dolls. And we had a good budget. We rented the costumes. We didn't even like, we rented them from like New York. Like they were, you know. And then the town next to us, which is like the poorer town. I'm not kidding. It is. It's like the wrong side of the tracks town. They also did Guys and Dolls. So we decided theirs was coming out the week before ours. So as a cast, we all went to see theirs. And it
in
was
support.
In there. Yeah, they didn't have a, they didn't, we didn't have, we had a stage. We didn't have an auditorium, but we had a stage. They just had like a cafeteria. And so they had like a slight lifted, you know, riser to put their, you know, as their stage. And they.
Did they do better? Was theirs better? Oh.
It was bad.
Oh.
So.
But hey, you know what? That's amazing that y'all
we
decided.
Went and we praised the hell out of them.
Yeah,
we
you
because we
you
didn't,
all were like, "Fuck it, let's."
I mean, we
theater.
Kind of to ourselves, we were like, "Oh my god, this was bad, guys! Like, we're so much better." But we're like, "But we were like, you know what? You guys did great, great job. You know, for
of
what
course.
They had, they did a great job. I'll give them that for the budget they probably had, and for like the
right.
talent they had, and probably the support of their community. They did a great job. Was just not good." There was some kind of mix up and somehow they gave it to both of us and we were within like, we weren't that far from each other. So it was just a mistake that we, you know, it wasn't something they normally do. It's just somehow it just worked out that way. And it was a mistake. So you're like, oh my goodness.
But then for the show, the High School Musical, the musical, the series, I mean, obviously they're breaking all the rules because they need drama.
Well, they completely, that's like, that doesn't happen. Or I guess they didn't get it from Samuel French. They got from somebody else or straight from Disney. So, but they do some High School Musical 2 songs in that season, just as their characters liking the songs and wanting to sing them, right? They, you know, bet on it. There's a, you know, Joshua Bassett version of that. It's similar to the
does he do it on a golf course?
No, he doesn't. But so they don't do that, you know, that's which is fine. But they do this, you know, Beauty and the Beast thing. There's a rivalry thing. There's a bunch of prank war on each other kind of stuff. That's what happens in season two. So season three is the one that Olivia Rodrigo is not really participating with the rest of the cast in. She's got her own little storyline about whether or not she's going to stay or she's going to leave, that kind of thing, right?
I gotta go
And
my own way.
kind of, right? It's a little deeper than that, but like she goes with her moms, which I love that she's got two moms. I
Got
love that.
moms.
And she, you know, she goes with her moms to California and they visit somebody, and it's this whole storyline with that, right?
And then
Whether or not
what's
she
the
wants to stay
show
in
that they do
California.
that season?
So that season takes place during the summer. And they go to that summer camp that she and EJ met at. The whole group, well, not the whole group, but most of the group goes.
Of
Like Big
course.
Red stays back. He doesn't go to the summer camp. You see him a little bit, but not much.
What, they don't need a tech person to
Apparently
do
not.
everything?
So we bring on some new characters who are at the camp, and then yeah, so they end up doing Frozen at the camp. So, but here's the thing: Corbin Blue, who played Chad in High School Musical, shows up
Yeah.
as Corbin Blue, doing a reality show where he's like, we're gonna put on Frozen. You're the first group of people who get to do like the you know non-Broadway Frozen scripts, you know, so. And you're doing it at this camp, and we're going to make a reality show out of it. And so they're filming them doing this Frozen thing, and how all the ups and downs of that. Plus, they got camp stuff and relationship dramas. You get some new characters who end up transferring to their school in the fourth season.
Of course.
Of
Of
course,
course
they
they
do.
do.
And you know, so there's a bunch of drama there. You know, somebody's dating somebody, and they leave somebody for the other person. And yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on.
I know in the first season, we get two cameos. We get Lucas Grabeel and Casey Stroh, who plays Martha. Also, they make a reference to Martha and they don't mention that
She's like in that scene. She's like one of the like the council or whatever
She's in the scene with the truth, justice, and songs in our heart. Yeah.
and then she
She
even does the pop and lock crap. And I'm like, wait, is she that character
and
in
they
this
make
or?
a reference to that in the board game that Carlos creates.
But no one references that that was Martha, like, or that was
Right.
the actress. And you're like, wait, no one, okay. But yeah, they
But
bring her
so
back.
they I know in season four they bring she makes another cameo with Corbin and I believe Lucas and there's a whole like mini reunion like TikTok video
What's
of
his name? Bart Johnson, who plays
yes
Coach I come said Coach Efron. Coach
you're right
Bolton.
Coach Efron yeah
Coach Efron. But who is
Coach
also married to
Bolton
Robin Lively, who's Blake Lively's sister.
oh
Anyway. So
Teen Witch oh Teen Witch we've done it twice on here
I know, great. But they're not in throughout the whole thing, and that's also the season we find out they show that they're making High School Musical 4, and they're filming it at the school at the same time they decide to do High School Musical 3 finally for their senior year, and they're doing senior year, and then
So they
one
never
of
do two as a
no
perform as
they
a
just
show.
completely skip it.
But it sounds like in season two, I think you said that they sing some of the songs from
Yeah,
it.
just on their own, like they're. For one thing, they're preparing to do it because all the kids are like, we're totally doing this. So they start like rehearsing stuff and then they don't do it. And then like some of them still kind of like the songs, so they kind of sing them a few times during lamenting about whatever, you know. But in season three, it's like, okay, so they're filming High School Musical 4, they're at the school while they're also doing High School Musical 3, and then one of the characters of the movie High School Musical 4, because it's like they're doing like a High School Musical reunion. Like it's a high school reunion for the main characters, which they don't bring on Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron at all,
Because
but
they're too
everybody
much.
else does.
They cost too much, probably.
Monica Coleman, everybody comes back, but them. And not Sharpay either, not Ashley Tisdale. But
Which is surprising because like I thought Disney just owned her.
I mean, right.
Still to this day.
I mean, they made Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. Let's just ugh. Anyway, so they're doing this whole thing where they're filming that, but then they have like a sub story in the High School Musical 4 movie with like new teenagers going through their own stuff, and then one of the characters drops out, and so they end up recasting one of the other characters at the school and one of the main characters of the show in that role. So they're doing double time in this movie of High School Musical 4 and the stage of High School Musical 3, and then like it gets all messy and whatnot, and Yeah, it's crazy.
My
It's
God.
but you also find out that they confirm in High School Musical 4 that Ryan is gay, finally.
Finally, because
They
he
you
was
show him
just.
kissing his boyfriend at one point. He gets off stage or something. He goes, "Oh, I love you, honey. Yeah, I love you too." Mwah. You
Which
know, the
I remember reading this when I did High School Musical 3. Lucas Grabeel did want in that movie Ryan to come out, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out, let's be real here, and not go to prom with Kelsey, who is also gay, but that's another story.
Kelsey's pan.
So
We know that.
yeah, she
She's
yeah.
panano. She said he plays the piano. The panano.
The panano. She yeah. It's I think I heard about that they confirmed Ryan is gay, but
And I forgot who his boyfriend was. It was another famous person. It's like a quick scene. It's another
but it's
famous.
not like a not like in the High School Musical verse universe.
It's in the
It's
High
a
School Musical movie that they're
but
filming.
I
The
mean
High School
like
Musical 4. Yeah.
in the first three movies, it's not a character from
No,
there.
it's an another actor that is well known. I don't know who it is though. I want to say it's not him though. I know it's not him. And God, I
Chris
remember who it was. Yeah, no, but it's like
Hemsworth.
another gay actor that is well known.
Jonathan Bennett?
I want to say it's somebody like him, but it's, I don't think it is him.
Because he was Aaron Samuels in the original Mean Girls movie, and he
Right.
is super gay at this point.
Yeah. Well, all the men in Mean Girls were gay,
All
but
the men were.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to look it up now too. But yeah, so we get that, which is kind of fun. It's like, oh my God. I thought it was gonna be a bigger part of it because they kind of show that. They had a clip of it before the season even started. And I was really kind of upset that it wasn't a bigger part of the show. That, you know, because these actors show up and they're not in it very much. They just kind of make little cameos throughout the season. And it's mainly just like bookending it. And then it's mainly about the new characters of High School Musical, the movies universe. So,
Unlike what they did with High School Musical 3 when they were trying to set up High School Musical 4
yeah.
originally, which that
Or they would
failed
make that.
miserably.
They were trying to make a High School Musical 4 with a whole new cast, and they're like, yeah, I don't like these characters. I don't think anybody liked those characters. It was kind of like,
No.
what is going on?
Rocket Man, no. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Yeah, I know you just went with that. No, God, where I'm it's really upsetting me that I cannot find who this actor is because they made an appearance and it's driving me nuts. I'm trying to look them up. Oh, it's the dude, and you know who it is? It's the lead singer, it's the blonde guy from freaking Pentatonix. That's who it is.
Okay.
That's why I couldn't find him because I'm like, he's not really an actor, so.
I feel like the people should watch the show, give it a little extra boost. Again, it made me think back to high school. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah, it felt like that high school experience. I mean, obviously heightened and musical
Oh, of course,
throughout,
yes.
but you know, it was in, but a lot of the, you know, the strife and the getting to
The
know each other. And then at the end, everybody
relationships.
just kind of comes together. Everybody appreciates each other. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you're like, oh, I like how these characters are really into each other, like as far as friendship now. And it's nice and happy, you know.
Right, because there's only so far you can go with like Gina hating Mimi because Mimi got the lead over her, and it's like, but why are you hating Mimi? Like, it's not like she did cast herself as that. It's
I
Miss
did love
Jen.
the whole thing where Nini like kept stealing stuff and then
That was wild. They started with her, I guess, good luck shoes or something, or lucky
yeah.
shoes, because
And then
when she.
Courtney like took a whole bag, dumps it out, and it's got
Oh
all this.
my.
I'm like, how does this girl not notice this stuff is missing?
It was all little things except for the shoe, the sneakers.
It was a funny scene. I like that one.
But let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
Okay.
we?
Sharp flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I want to start with flats because let's end on a high note. Haha, joke. So my first flat is to Miss Jen being too much and also calling the students by their character names, not their real names. Like she'll call Ricky Troy or Nini Gabriella, but you're like, but you don't, that doesn't happen. That never happened.
Yeah, I guess it was the whole, the only thing I can think of is like she's trying to keep them in character, you know, or trying to tell us, or they're trying to tell us, the audience, who that person's representing, kind of.
But like, she is a bit much throughout this
season. Oh, she is.
But
what theater teacher really isn't? I mean, come on.
True. I also flatted Mr. Mazzara because he's an asshole.
I think he's probably the weaker adult actor, in my opinion. I hate to say that about somebody, but as far as all of them, you're like, eh.
Maybe the dad. Ricky's
him too.
Dad.
They're kind of.
Ricky's,
you know,
dad, for being depressed, is so chipper half the time.
I'm sad. I may put a blanket over my head.
I'm on a Disney show, so I can't be super sad.
Yeah.
I also flatted EJ because once he was done being Nini's boyfriend and that whole thing, it just felt like season three of Quinn for Bray for him, where they're like, we don't know what to do with you, but you are a series regular, so we're just going to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
We're going to see if you can just go on a confessional tour and that everybody hates you for it. And
you're going to apologize to everyone. You're going to, but you're
going
to
put it on Instagram and you're going to lose a lot of followers.
Like, but you're going to have a hero's ending. So good luck. I also flatted the Sharpay makeup. It was just too much. Like the makeup Seb wore, it looked like Gem in the Holograms. The movie.
That mixed with Ziggy Stardust like it wanted to be, but it didn't have the lightning bolt, but it was all like everything, you know, because of the short hair. But
and I'm like, why did you need to do that? You didn't need to do that. It's Sharpay. Sharpay doesn't even wear that much shit. She wears maybe a colorful lip gloss.
Yeah, I was like, but wait, you've got the shiny outfits and the pink and everything. I mean,
and he's blonde. You got a blonde kid playing Sharpay. Great.
Was he playing gender neutral, or was he playing a girl, but just as like, you know, I don't know. Like, what was they going for?
Well, it looked like they were going for Ziggy Stardust, as you said. But I don't know what.
But meets Jim and the Holograms.
Meets Jim and the Holograms.
Truly outrageous.
I also am flatting the costume design of the performance. Because it's like, why are we recreate? I hate it when people recreate, like, the movie.
Yeah. It's like, it was funny for the poster. Like, when they did that with
the poster. Because they
know,
had
that wig on. That was funny.
That shitty wig. And they all wore exactly or close to exact what they wore in the High School Musical poster. But, like, everything else. I mean, I can understand the Darbus character because, like, shawls are also a big thing in as, like, theater teachers or of a certain age.
Yeah.
But, like, try something different, you know? And then my last flat is for the performance itself. Like I said, I don't like it when they do stuff like that. I understand why they're doing it. But there's a lot of things that I'm like, you're teaching people the wrong things about theater.
Yeah,
like,
if these kids watching this are watching this and thinking, oh, this is how theater goes down.
This is how theater goes down. No,
it does not.
So those are my flats.
I would agree with those, yeah, for sure. And
do you have any other flats?
Oh, not really. I think I just agree with yours because, I mean, I really like the show. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's hard for me to find negative things, and, you know, unless I'm like, it really bothers me. It has to really bother me. And, like, the whole switching out of the characters and, you know, during the performance, it's like, for the audience, like, the fictional audience watching it, they've got to be like, what is going on? He was just Chad, now he's Troy. And there was the girl who was playing, what's her name?
Gabriella.
Gabrielle, not Kelsey.
No, Taylor.
Taylor. The girl who's playing Taylor is now taller and thinner. And
and also a person of color. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, oh, we're both people of color. And then it's like, all right. Like, I don't, okay, whatever. And then at the very end, it's like, I'm not the Troy you want. And then it's like, wait,
the off-script monologue. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yes, we have two Troys in the school, and she got mixed up in the middle of the show.
Okay.
A whole new High School Musical experience.
Sharps. I first sharped the casting, because they got actual teenagers, young adults. I don't think anyone is over 20 as a kid in the first season.
Right.
Maybe 19 is the highest age that they got, but still, like, the fact that they hired teenagers to play teenagers is a big deal. And it also follows the High School Musical trajectory, you know.
And you know what? They're attractive, but not like super, not everybody is supermodel looking attractive. Like, you know, they're like regular looking kids, you know?
Yeah.
And you believe that they all would probably go to school together.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about that. And the fact that they're all very talented. Very talented.
I don't think Ashlyn and EJ are cousins, but that's that's just me.
EJ looks a little like he's got the olive skin, he's got the darker hair, he's taller. She's like total redhead all the way, and you're like, yeah.
Unless it's like the dads are related or something. Like
their parents were adopted, and they'll be just kind of like, you know, adopt a brother and sister.
Or it's like you call them cousins, but there's no blood relation at all because their parents are just best friends. Yeah. I also am sharping Big Red, Ashlyn, and Courtney as characters because I feel like in later seasons, they may have more to do. You don't have to answer that right away. But like, you can see the beginnings of things and like they're kind of secondary characters in this season, but like their moments are great moments.
Oh my God. The whole relationship set up for Big Red and Ashlyn and
love
just the subtle little compliments they're giving each other without like really diving into it. And they hint at it throughout the whole thing. And you're like, I really like them. I like them. I want to ship them. I want them to sail off together. Like, I like those characters together.
I also sharped how queer the characters are. Like, we're in the new age, you know? And I feel like that was a little bit of a backlash that they got, if I remember correctly, that people are like, Disney's going woke or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Who fucking cares? But, like, this is high school. Like,
when that happened, that oh my God, Disney's going away. I was even on season one, and they're like, you know what, we're doubling down, and then they're like, we're tripling down, we're quadrupling down. Every season it got even more queer. It's hilarious,
but like I like it, and it's great because I feel like, you know, with the way that conversation with American teenagers are going these days, like they're realizing all about themselves younger, like who they are. And
exposure helps you and that's not even for sexuality, that's exposure to anything. Like, I've now, you know, figuring out that I'm autistic and ADHD, and the only reason why I know this is because I'm seeing people's testimonials of it and the things that they go through, and like, I go through that. And the more and more you see it, you're like, oh my God, that's who I am. And you start realizing it
because, you know, of social media and the other ways that other movies and TV shows are going, you can see representation in yourself. So like seeing Seb and Carlos at least this season, and maybe Big Red, I don't want to say anything, but like, you know, you see them and you're like, oh, this is me. Like,
Why do I relate to them? And you start kind of questioning that, you know? And that's the same thing that happened when the whole gay thing, you know, took hold on television, especially when Ellen came out, and then all of a sudden, you know, and there was Will and Grace, and then we had more and more shows that were centered around gay and queer characters, and mostly gay at the time. You had like everybody complained, like, oh, everybody's gay now. Do you remember? I remember that. Everybody's like, oh, everybody's gay now. And everybody got mad. I'm like, well, everybody's questioning their attractions to people. And a lot of people are like, I think I'm bisexual. I am more. And some of them didn't go fully into it, but that died down. And now in the last 10 years, we've had more trans and non-binary characters coming out. And then all of a sudden you had more people going, I think I'm trans. I think I'm, you know, and people don't like them questioning themselves. You know, the people, the higher ups in the world just don't want them people questioning things, because they question anything, that means they're going to question them next, you know?
And so, you're like, I'm sorry that the world is turning and everyone's evolving.
Sorry that people are actually waking up out of your little fog and they're realizing, hey, I'm not who I thought I was, you know? Same thing goes for like those same mental health things and other aspects of life, you know? And I think that's awesome. Representation matters, people, you know. Same thing for women in like jobs of power. You see her, you be her, that whole thing, you know. So it's like, you can do things. You can, you know, we
Yeah,
can't.
and like in this one, even Big Red, who it's small, it's comparatively to the other representation, but like Big Red, obviously likes theater or likes musicals. You know,
Even though
he
he keeps downplaying, oh, I see it at my dentist's office when the sound's off. And
right,
you're
but
like, you watch it though.
you know you're in your bedroom watching YouTube to get "We're All in This Together" choreography down. But I digress. But it's like at least you're seeing him like learning, and he has something where he could pick up things really fast, and that's
Like that quote he says at the very beginning of the series, like the one, I think maybe the second episode, and he turns to the camera and goes, "Did I just join a cult?"
basically.
I was like, "Yes." And I remember I posted that clip on my stories on Instagram when the show came and said, "Yes, but the best kind."
So other sharps, Miss Jen, when she stands up to Mr. Mazera about her students, I think that's earlier in the season.
Oh, when he says something about Carlos.
Yes, and she's
Saying,
like these or
make friends your own age.
and she's well, and she's also like these kids need a safe space to go to. So it's still like a little
Not
bit of
all
a
of them are going to
glee
be
attitude.
successful. Yeah, they're not all going to be successful. They're not going to be, but they need to be there because they're not all going to be successful. They need
Right.
each other. They need to find their people, that kind of thing.
So
Yeah.
that moment I loved. I know I called her too much, but she has pockets of, you know,
That's the
sincerity.
reason why you are okay with her. Yeah.
Yeah. I also sharped Nini's Thanksgiving dress. It was this like black, orange, silver, sparkly thing. I'll find a picture and post
I
it
want to
somewhere.
sharp Gina's ability to make a toboggan, or I'll call it a toboggan. It's a beanie kind of thing for Ricky in like under a day.
When does she sleep? Because she also made the cupcakes.
Gluten-free,
The
yeah.
gluten-free cupcakes. I'm sharpening the line contractually obligated dream sequence because I laughed my ass off when Lucas Grabeel said that to
Yeah.
Miss Jen. I'm also sharpening Big Red tap dancing that we kind of touched upon. Another sharp to the choreography in general. Like Gina, amazing choreography. When we get to the show, I loved that when we got to the show and Get Your Head in the Game, they had every like whatever genders they identify as there, because that's a real thing. Like I know, I'm surprised I held on to this. I actually designed this the High School Musical stage version at Stage Door Manor, which is a theater camp for kids. And like I believe in that when they did that, they also had people of every gender playing on the basketball team because like there's not a lot of male identifying people at Stage Door Manor. I'm not gonna lie. Like actor, the kids and everything. And
Right.
so you have to. So it felt very
Well, that
real
happens in a
as
lot of
well.
places anyway. You know, it's like
Yeah,
you might
where
not
you
have enough girls, or you might not have enough that you might not have
Oh
enough
no,
boys. So
you'll have enough girls.
but
You
you know what I'm
always have enough
saying? It
girls.
depends on the school. I'm saying, like, you know, it sometimes you don't, or you don't have enough people. Usually you don't have enough boys to be
Right.
in the parts. You know what I mean? So like you would have
So
to have girls playing boy parts, you know, and
seeing that, and also like I know dribbling, singing, and dancing at the same time is difficult. So the
yeah.
fact that they were able to do that, kudos to all of them.
Singing and dancing is difficult, just
Yes.
in general, because
And
you're
then you're
running out of
adding
breath
another
and
element to it.
yeah.
Fuck. And then I'm gonna sharp the following performances. I'm gonna sharp the wandering duet that happens with Nini and Ashlyn. I think that they complemented each other's voices very well. And then
Yes.
also Born to Be Brave. Just fuck it.
I love that song. It's
I
such a good
love
song.
it. I think I rewound it just to watch it again.
To quote the kids, it's a bop.
It's fire. Do you
It's a
have
bop. Oh, hit that.
what other sharps do you have?
Oh man, there's so many. Like I think I've mentioned everything. I can't even. I wish I wrote them down. I didn't. But you know, like mainly the
I
music.
did.
I like, you know, I like the representation of what it is like to be in a high school play or learning about it. You know, like you, especially when you follow Big Red and he just keeps like, I don't understand. Left is right, up is down. I don't
I'm
understand. And it makes
the
us.
stage manager today, tomorrow I'm props, and then now I'm gonna run the light board?
I would have
What?
appreciated had they like that. This might be a little bit of a flat, but I would have appreciated when she was like, yeah, upstage, downstage, like the reason why is because of, was it Greek theater? And because it went up literal steps. Like that's the reason why it went up. That's why you go in the back, because it goes up.
And now
And
there's what's called a raked stage, which is it's on an incline, so you literally walk down stage towards the audience and then
right.
upstage. It's for perspective reasons. I don't
No, I
really
get it. I
understand
get
it.
that. That's fine. You know, and that's kind of like in the movie Get Over It with Martin Short. And he's theater teacher was like, if you keep going downstage, you will fall down. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. He will fall out of the stage. But that makes sense, though. But, you know, that's something like, oh, okay. But I did like how they were learning as they went along, you know, and then they showed like trying harder and then how it all gets dramatic and so many things are happening. Because that happened in high school. That's how it happened, you know. I really, all the sharps, I agree with all your sharps. Like, you always name all the stuff I already think of anyway. So I can't really, like, I don't want to just, like, yeah, the same thing, you know. I wanted to mention, I forgot earlier. So, high school, so season three, when they go to summer camp, they also do Camp Rock songs.
Oh no. Oh
Yeah, they do some Camp
no.
Rock songs.
Does Demi Lovato and her giant smile show up?
No. And oh my God, there was something else I forgot what it was, but yeah, so that was interesting and it was fun.
Would you add any of the song? Do you mind if we go on?
And season two opens up with a well, they had, since it was during COVID and whatnot, they did, instead of doing a season two right away, because they were going to release it in December, but they got behind because of COVID. So what they did was they took individual cast members and put them in the desert because they were filming out there, and they did Christmas songs. It's like a Christmas special where they just sang to the camera
Oh,
Christmas
that's
songs.
nice.
And
Like
they're,
little music videos.
yeah, it's like a little special they put out instead. And then they had a preview, which is actually the beginning of season two, where they're like, we're going on Christmas break, but we'll be back and we're going to be doing the musical, but here's our Instagram page. And so they do this Christmas song that they make up. And it's a really good little Christmas song. I really
That's
like it.
nice.
Yeah, it's really cute because they get a little moment with Big Red and Ashlyn singing together and being pushed around on a cart. And there's like
And
they're doing stuff throughout the school
they're
and dancing
performing
around.
as their characters. It's not
Yes,
Olivia
that is part
Rodrigo
of the
singing
show.
Jingle
Yeah,
Bells. It's
right.
Nini
So
singing Jingle Bells. Got it.
yeah, the special is them just as their real selves singing songs. But
Oh, I
that part,
understand.
but the part where they're doing, oh, our Instagram page or whatever, that's actually part of the show, their characters.
Got
So
it.
that's a bit of, that's, it's really cute. I actually bought that song too. It was like, oh, I like this for my Christmas mix, you know. So yeah, so that's a sharp for me, even though it's not part of the season. So
Would you add any of the songs from this season, though, to your life's playlist? I
oh, I did.
only.
Okay, I got Wondering, I got Born to Be Brave, I got Out with the Old. I
I
think
also wrote. I didn't put Out with the Old, but I wrote Role of a Lifetime.
okay.
Because
Yeah, I don't
I
have that
like
one.
Lucas Grabeel's voice.
Yeah, he has a good voice. He has a good
And
voice.
she, Miss Jen, I forget her name right now and I closed out of everything, but Miss Jen has a great voice,
Miss
obviously. She's a
Reindeers.
fucking. Miss Reindeers, yes. She's a fucking Glinda. Like, get it. And I looked up that she did obviously other theater.
Yeah.
But she's a great singer. Does she sing more in the as the
Yes,
show
she
goes on?
does. She does. Not a
Perfect.
lot. It's still about the same amount, I think, but it's focused on the kids. I mean, come
Well,
on, you know.
yeah. But like Miss you have a Glinda. You have
Well.
a Broadway actor there.
She does get the last song of the series. I'll tell you that.
Oh, good. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, Dustin, I think we're done with season one of High School Musical, the series. Do you want to do season two, like later on,
Yeah, we could.
eventually?
That's no problem for
Do
me, you know.
you want to do the series?
We can do
Like,
the whole series. That's fun. Yeah. You get
okay.
it, you gotta watch it. But yeah.
Now I have you on audio agreeing to it.
Okay.
So I'm gonna hold you to it.
Well, I mean, if now it's in my playlist now on my Disney Plus, like, all right, continue watching because I refinished the series the first time, so now it's back on there, so I gotta do
Yeah,
it
but
now.
we might spread it out,
No, that's fine. Yeah.
prolong it. Maybe have you do other things in between, but like we'll prolong it a little bit. But what do you have to plug or promote?
Of course, I have the rewatch recap. So right now we're doing the 2003 series Dead Like Me. We're recapping that, the first season of that, which is an awesome show. If you've never seen it, you should watch it. It is awesome. It's on Roku channel in the US for free. You don't have to have a Roku. You can pull it up on RokuChannel.com or get the Roku channel app. You can watch it for free. It's an awesome show. It's done by the same guy, Brian Fuller, who created Pushing Daisies and Wonder Falls and quite a few other things. And so you should check it out. It's really good. Dark comedy and all that stuff. Next after that, we're doing Marvel's Runaways, which is,
Ooh,
yeah,
which season?
the first season. I usually
Okay.
start with the first season of shows, if anything, and then we might go further if
Oh,
they're
I didn't
popular
know if
enough.
you've already covered it. 'Cause I know, like,
Yeah.
you're what, gonna do season three of The Magician soon?
Yes. And we're gonna be doing more Ghost Rider episodes and all that stuff. So, and
Is it Gooey Gus? Did you do Gooey
no,
Gooey?
that's gonna be way down the line. That's my least favorite episode in the entire series. That's the last episode of the series, or the last mystery, quote, mystery. It's not even a mystery. They're just telling a damn story. It kind of pisses me off. It goes completely off the rails and I hated it. So, it did not scare me because I was too old for it at the time, but I kept watching the show.
That fucking puppet is forever burned in my brain. I don't know why he terrified me, but he did. I guess I was the right age for the show.
Apparently you were. You're much younger than me, so
But I'm still old.
yeah, well. But yeah, so we're doing more of that. I'm gonna be doing with you, and I think we're gonna try to do the Secret World with Alex Mack at some point. Yeah, I have a
Where
lot of
can
things.
one watch Secret World of Alex Mack? Do you
I know it's
know?
on Paramount Plus, I'm very
Okay.
sure. It might also you might be able to find something on YouTube. You might be able
Yeah.
to find it on archive.org. I don't know. I know Salute Your Shorts, the whole Salute Your Shorts is on archive.org because you can't find it anywhere, at least not the full thing. So yeah, there's a lot of good things
That's
out
just
there.
rude.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
sorry, did you plug your socials?
Yeah, I'm on at Dustin Can Read. I'm not doing the podcast right now, but I am doing a book club on Dustin Can Read. So if you see at Dustin Can Read on Instagram, that is what I'm doing
Do
there.
you have a book for September or that you've started
Actually,
or?
September, I am doing a collaboration with Tales of Point Horror Book Club, and we're doing two Nightmare Hall books from the 90s. So they're kind of
Ooh.
like Fear Street in college. So
Okay.
yeah, it's
It's
pretty, it's a
called
little
what,
more risque.
Nightmare Hole?
My Nightmare Hall,
Hall.
like a
Got it.
dorm, like a dormitory. It's
Yeah,
college.
no. I didn't know if
So
it was like, nightmare hole, like you're going down the hole, down the rabbit hole or
the
something.
author is Diane Ho. That's Hoh. And
Okay.
she also has like ghost writers who write some of these books, but there's several of them. There's like at least 20 something of these books. So we're on like four and five now. We're doing two of them in September. And yeah, so other than that, at the Rewatch Recap on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
Be sure to watch his videos on TikTok. They're always fun.
Oh, thanks.
And if you are really excited and looking forward to Dustin and I talking about season two and more of High School Musical, the musical, the series, you can talk to me about it. Or if you have more fun facts about season one,
Find
I'd
him
love to
at Butter
hear
Song
it.
Pod.
Yeah. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. What did you think of the original songs this season? Do you agree with us where what we think is weak and what we think is strong? You never know. Somebody could hate Born to Be Brave and you're dead to me if you do, but it's a thing. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we'll be talking about Rock and Roll High School. Dustin, thank you so much for coming back on and talking about this. This was a lovely thing to rewatch, I gotta say.
It was great. Thank you for having me rewatch it. I was happy to watch it again.
And you're now prepping for it for like a future season on your
Quite
podcast, right?
possibly. Quite possibly. We'll see.
Because now this is the second time you've watched it.
I know.
So
I gotta go a little while now before I
it'll
can
be
see it
the
again.
re-rewatch
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
podcast, right?
Exactly.
And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.